Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of 1 Samuel chapter 16, we were taught that even David's father could not see him as king. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
The third negative for David is that David did not necessarily have the full support of his family. Now, you think about this. His father, Jesse, had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And David wasn't one of them. He didn't even have David there. His dad could have thought anybody but David. Why? When called to sacrifice, that a servant was not sent out to tend the sheep as Jesse did in chapter 17 when he sends the servant out to tend the sheep so David can take the cheeses and the other things to Saul's army. So his dad's opinion is anybody but David. My friend, encourage your children to develop their skills in arts and sciences to compete and to try to perfect their skills and dedicate them totally unto the Lord in a holy, biblical, righteous manner. But don't give up on an uncoordinated, average mental abilities, and average-looked child. Be ever encouraging them to give their all to Christ, that they might be ready to go, should God call them. In chapter 17, we'll see the jealousy of David's brother, Eliab. He was the one in physical stature that made Samuel think, hey, this is he. They don't support him totally after the anointing. And you'll see in chapter 17, when we get there, he says, why aren't you out tending those few sheep in a very sarcastic type of a way? When David is king, his sister's sons will be a source of grief to David, especially Joab. The family member begins to serve the Lord. Perhaps he heads up a ministry. And what follows is ridicule, rebuke, and a refusal to support his ministry from near relatives. We're told that it is better that a millstone be hung around your neck and be cast into the sea than to offend one of these little ones that believe on me. In Matthew 18. And my friend, here's a young man that his brothers, instead of encouraging him, are disdainful of him. Now, brothers, sisters, parents, children, whatever it is, encourage them verbally. Pray for them. Actively support your family that is serving God in truth and holiness and sound doctrine. Now, you don't encourage those that are in false worship and false doctrine and worldly worship with the rock and roll and everything else that's going on. Don't encourage that at all. However, if you have one, whether it's your own son or daughter, maybe it's a nephew, a niece, a grandchild, a brother or sister, and they go to a good, solid, fundamental Baptist Christian college to train for the service of God, make sure you send them letters and send them money. God simply did not call or use David based on his physical features, nor his resume, nor his family support. Now that might make you ask a question. Why then did God call David? Why did God want David to do this ministry? And that is a good question. Well, let's consider the positive. First of all, God saw his heart. Again, we look at verse 7, where we see the Lord says to Samuel, "Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Now let's go back to chapter 13, verse 14. And God speaking to Saul through Samuel, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." A man after God's own heart, first of all, meditates in the Word of God. Meditates to know. Secondly, he acts upon its promises. And the Bible says, "Blessed are ye that suffer and are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for great is your reward in heaven." This man lives righteously because by faith he knows that no matter what they do to him or her, that it only builds the reward in heaven. So a man after God's own heart meditates in God's word. He acts upon the promises. And then he also obeys the commands of God's word. The Bible says, "Do this, so I'm doing it." Maybe hard. I may not understand. But the Bible tells me, "Do this, and so I do it." And then we see a fourth thing. He not only meditated in God's word, he not only acted upon his promises, and also he not only obeyed its command, but we see he abandons his own desires to submit completely to the desires and the will of God. That's the same example that our Lord Jesus Christ left to us in Mark chapter 14, verse 36. "And he," that is Jesus, "said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." You know, that's the very special greeting there, Abba, Father, that Jesus has for God the Father. I can remember being in Israel, and I was at En Gedi, and I was walking up there to those caves where King David hid from Saul. And there was a little Jewish boy with his daddy. I'd say the boy at best was 3 or 4 years old, could have been 5, but not any older than that. I have a tendency to think 3 or 4 years old. But he saw this big, ugly white preacher walking at him with a bunch of people behind him. And he was just a few steps away from his daddy, but he turned to him and grabbed his arm and said, "Abba." And his Abba was, "I need your comfort. I need your help. Protect me." Well, Jesus says, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." Jesus told Peter that he could have called for 12 legions of angels and would have been delivered from all that. And if Jesus said, "Father, no matter what, take this cup from me," God would have. He would have. But he says, "Not my will, thine be done." And that is the difference. You can be used of God, But you must prepare your heart to seek God. And when you do that, you must lose your will to His will. That your only will is to do the will of God, God's way, and in God's time. God's will, God's way, God's time is the key to righteous Christian living. So you can be used of God. But again, you must prepare your heart to seek God. Now, I believe the book of Ezra furnishes us with an example in the life of Ezra. For there we read in Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment." Now, understand there what he's saying to us. He was to seek, we're told there. Seek to the law of the Lord. That's what he did. We're told that's exactly what he did. What do we mean, seek? How do we do that? I think Psalms 1 and 2 furnishes us with a good example. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." You pray, and you read the Word, and you pray over the Word in a way of meditation, deep thought, asking God to reveal to you and to give you understanding of His Word. In this case, it was the law of the Lord, the laws we see in the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, really books 2 through 5, starting with Exodus. And this is what, for the most part, they had to meditate in, besides the things that Joshua would have written by then, and the Judges, and Ruth, and some of those other things that they had. But it wasn't real extensive like you and I have it today. But we see that he not only sought to know it, he didn't just read it and forgot about it. He studied it and thought on it till he understood it. And then he obeyed it. He did it. He just didn't learn it. He did what it told him to do. But then Ezra, we're told, he didn't just seek to the law of the Lord and to do it, but he also taught Israel the statutes and judgments. In other words, he taught it to others. And my friend, right there in the Old Testament, we see the outlay of the Great Commission. We have the same responsibility as believers in Christ today. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 tells us this. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.